حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إني تارك فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وإثرتي أهل بيتي. وقال أيضا: العلي مع القرآن والقرآن مع العلي. Wishing you and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat throughout the world a heartfelt wishes and congratulations on the blessing of Maulude Kaaba, the birth of the Kaaba, the pinnacle of Ma'rifat and Iman, the mountain of patience and forbearance, the ocean of knowledge and wisdom, the height of worship and piety, the life, the nafs, and the ruh of the Messenger of Allah, the one who is only understood by Allah and His Messenger, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah alayhi. And this being that is truly, it is our honor, our izzat, our increase of faith whenever we remember him, whenever we speak about him. Whenever we speak of him in a gathering, this is our beauty that is being increased. For the Messenger has said, زَيَّنُوا مَجَالِسَكُمْ بِذِكْرِ عَلِي إِبْنِ أَبِي طَالِبِ. He said, beautify your gatherings with the dhikr and remembrance of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And just so many angles and so many aspects and so many ways and so many views and so many directions that we can speak of Imam Ali. And every angle that we approach him with, there is an ocean that never ends. And hence to us, we just skim the ocean and we will be filled with the ma'rifat that comes through this being. So just a few words that I will say today, and we will do our little part in trying to get some understanding and some ma'rifat and some cognizance of this personality. The hadith that I had mentioned is from the Messenger of Allah, where he said that I am leaving amongst you two weighty things, thaqalain, two weighty things, the book of Allah and my itrat, my progeny, Ahlul Bayt. And hence, by saying this, he also goes on and says that these are inseparable from each other. There is no separation between Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And in another hadith, he had mentioned that Al-Ali ma'al Quran. Ali is with the Quran, and Quran is with Ali. So now when we look at both Ahlul Bayt and the Quran, and specifically Imam Ali and the Quran, we see that every attribute that you can find, every special quality that you can find regarding the Quran, you will find in the personality of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So first, just like the Quran is a source of challenge by Allah, Ali is also a source of challenge by Allah. Quran itself says that if you all try and put your effort in, you cannot bring someone or something like me. That is the challenge of the Quran. Allah himself says in the Quran, he says, قُلْ لَيْنَ اشْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسَانُ إِنْسُ وَالْجِنُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُ بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ. He said that if all the human beings, 6 billion of them living, how many of them have died and how many will come later, if they all get into a line, and if all the jinn also that are existing, that we cannot see them, if they all get in a line, and if they put their heads together, if they put their intelligence together to bring something like the Quran, Allah says, you will not be able to. You will not be able to. This is, Allah holds it a challenge. And when we look at that, we will see that, and I will explain it in different ways, the comprehensiveness of the Quran that I will explain a little bit later. It cannot happen. It's not a storybook. It's not the greatest story ever told. It is not a story at all. In fact, it is a book of guidance. And that's where the challenge is. That everything that is said is for a specific purpose and a wisdom, and it is for a special reason. And hence, when you see this, it is comes forth as a challenge to everyone. So just like the Quran is a challenge, you see that Imam Ali, his being is also a challenge, where he said, Saluni qabla an tafquduni, ask me before you lose me. This was a challenge of Ali to ask me whatever you can. And such a challenge, by the words of Ahlul Bayt, will never be repeated ever again. And this is an open challenge for anyone to come forward and say, ask me anything you want. Trust me, you know, I mean, obviously no one here is ready to do that, but there might be some ignorant person who might do it somewhere, and there have been people who have done it. Just the fact that you ask someone anything like that and make a challenge that you can ask me and I will answer, and the way Imam Ali asks also is a challenge. Ask me before you lose me. Ask me about every movement that will happen from now till the day of judgment. I will tell you how it will happen and who will be the leader of that movement. Ask me anything that you need to ask me regarding this dunya and the heavens. I know the ways of the heavens more than I know of this dunya. In other words, I know ghaib more than what is known to you. In other words, that which you don't know and which you don't have any access to, I know it more than anyone else. So in that way, when the challenge was made, that challenge was made and fulfilled, and no one else, this is a challenge that anyone else after this would ever be able to challenge such a thing. This was the first, you see, similarity of the Quran. This is the quality of the Quran I'm speaking about. The first quality is that Quran is a challenge. Just like that, Ali's statement and his saluni is also a challenge for everyone. Number two, Quran is jami', it's comprehensive. It's not about one subject. It speaks of every subject and gives the light of guidance on every subject that is there. It is an usul, it is not far, meaning that it is a principle, it is not the details. In principle, it gives you all the guidance that is needed for every subject, whether it has to deal with history, whether it has to deal with science, whether it has to deal with psychology, whether it has to deal with humanology, whether it has to deal with sociology, whether it has to deal with ulume aqliye, intellectual sciences, whether it has to deal with physical sciences, whether it has to deal with akhlaq, whether it has to deal with jurisprudence and law. Every aspect of life that covers us, that we can think about, Allah says in the Quran, لا رذب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Every wet and dry that you want to find that is related to your life and related to anything in this universe, you will find in the Quran. It is comprehensive. The quality of the Quran is that it is comprehensive. It deals with every subject. And when you look at the personality of Imam Ali, you will find the same comprehensiveness in that personality. You see, if you ever see an alim, someone who is an ayatollah, a learned person, you will not see him as a warrior. You won't see him as a warrior, right? If you see someone as a warrior, you don't think of him as someone who's intelligent and wise and learned. When you think of a politician, you don't think of him as muttaqi. Right? And if you see a muttaqi person, you don't see him as a politician. Right? And because you see that those who are into politics rarely are muttaqi. And those who are pious and who worship really are politicians, right? These are like things that you see are on the opposite ends of what a person needs to be. A person who's muttaqi would stay away from those places where his taqwa would be in danger. No matter how good a muttaqi person is, this is what happens. Because being muttaqi is that you're trying to protect your taqwa. You're trying to protect your taqwa. And hence, in order to protect your taqwa, you will not engage or indulge in places or in things that will harm your piety. That will harm your piety. You will not engage in those places. So what happens is that when you see someone who is muttaqi going and becoming in charge of the politics of the world, and maintaining his taqwa while he's maintaining his status as a leader, then you know that this cannot be someone who's muttaqi. This has to be Imam al-Muttaqeen. This, my friends, comprehensiveness of Imam Ali's character, if you look in all the history of all the leaders other than the Prophet and the Imams, other than them, right? Because when we show Ali, Ali was more shown in the history. Other Imams, their history was hidden from us. That's why we're not able to show their history and what they have done. Because Ali's history was open and everyone saw it and witnessed it, they had to. And that's the reason why his personality is more open to the people, so that they can read it, analyze it. If you can analyze Ali's history and personality, if you can understand who Ali is, then you have understood who the rest of the Masumeen are. They're all the same. Right? But the fact is that they are comprehensive. Quran is comprehensive. Ali is also comprehensive. In every way, you see, he has every attribute of perfection that is, you can find there. And we are talking about all the Ahlul Bayt. I'm specifically talking about Ali because this is his wilada. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When you look at the Quran, the third quality of the Quran is that there's an extreme love and hate relationship you have with the Quran. Hubbun wa bughdun. Love and hate. it's on the extreme with the Quran. You see, this is a principle. Anyone who's strong, very strong, powerful, very magnanimous and magnificent personality, you will see that you can either love him to the extreme or you will hate him to the extreme. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. Either you love them or you hate them. Quran is like that. When you see the hatred of the Quran, let me read this ayat for you that Allah is describing the hatred people had for the Quran. He says, وَإِذْ قَالُوا أَلَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقِّ مِنْ إِنْدِكَ. He said, oh Allah, if this is the truth from you, meaning the Quran that's revealed, that this is the kuffar of Makkah who are saying, if this is the truth from you, then says, فَأَمْتِرْ عَلَيْنَا هِجَارَةً أَوَأْتَنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Allah, if this is the truth from you, if this is, you have sent this, then you know what? We would rather that you send us stones from the sky or a painful punishment. We would rather be hit by stones and get killed or rather be inflicted by a painful punishment than to get this what you are sending. Imagine that hatred. This is the hatred of the people towards the Quran. This is that hatred of the Quran that people had. And on the other hand, you see when Allah speaks about those who love the Quran, the Anbiya and the Awliya and the true believers, when they hear the Quran, he says, وَإِذَا تُطْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَبُقِيًّا. That when the ayat of the Quran are recited to them, then they fall down into prostration crying. This is the love that they have for the Quran. They read it in the mornings, they read it at night. They hold on to it like anything. This is the love that they have. So on one hand you see this extreme love, and the other hand you see this extreme hate. This extreme hate that you had because the Quran is strong. The Quran is strict. You see, if the Quran was compromising, then those who hate it might come a little bit closer. And those who love it will love it a little bit less. If the Quran compromised its principle, if the Quran ever said, all right, you can be like that. My friends, understand this. If Quran, the same principles that it came with are everlasting and evergreen principles until the day of judgment. They're not going to change. No one's going to change those principles. Those principles are going to be the same. People will come who are ignorant and would want to interpret those principles in their whatever liberal or conservative views that they might have. But the principles are going to remain the same, unchanged, undaunted, and challenging everyone else. This is the Quran. It is not like, for example, other religions, where if they see, well, this is the modern trend, everyone's going that way. If you want to maintain membership of our churches and everything like that, please change the Bible so it comes over here. They come over here. Change the meaning so they come over here. Quran doesn't do that. Quran doesn't do that. It says, this is who I am. This is what it is. If you accept it, good for you. If you reject it, then it's your problem. Friends, understand this. Why? Because the principles are from God. God doesn't change. How can His principle change? If Allah doesn't change, how is He going to change His principle just to please who? The people. The people are dependent on Him for their existence. Understand this. This is the Quran. And that character of the Quran you see in Ali ibn Abi Talib. When we look at Imam Ali, we see the same character of people. When if they hate Ali, they hate him in such an extreme way. And they love Ali, they love him in such an extreme way. You see, either way, if you get close to Ali, either you would hate him to the extreme or you love him to the extreme. That's why we see that the Messenger of Allah says, Ya Ali, لا يحبك إلا المؤمن ولا يبغضك إلا المنافق. No one will love you except a mu'min, and no one will hate you except a munafiq. Why is this? Because of the fact that you are such a personality that no one can be neutral when it comes to you. No one can stand neutral when it comes to you, my friend. This is the personality of Ali. On one hand, you see the hatred that people had, the Kharijis. How much hatred they had for Ali. They threatened to kill him. And they claimed that, you know, if we kill you, this is what they had said to Imam Ali. When we are going to kill you, we will not bury you, we will burn you. Because we don't want to give you that pleasure of being buried. You see, so much hatred. So much hatred. Understand this. On one hand, you see these people who had so much hatred for Ali. And on the other hand, you see Misam et Ammar. You see Ammar et Yasir. Right? You see Malik et Ashtar. People who are dying for his love, dying to be with him. This is, my friends, the extremity that comes with personality. Same thing is in the Quran. Same thing is with, when we look at Imam Ali's personality. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, just to make us understand this, right? Ali, what kind of relationship he had with the Quran? You know, when you look at those type of qualities in the Quran, you find them in Ali. And I will explain a little bit more, I want to, so that we can also learn something from it, you know? And I want you to understand, the people who love Ali, do you think that they loved Ali because he was tall, dark, and handsome? Do you think that, alhamdulillah, we all love Ali? Do you think that we love Ali because he has a lot of muscles? Or he's very smart, very intelligent? Why do we love Ali? Why do these people love him so much? And why do those people hate him so much? Do you think that they hate him because, they don't like his features? Understand why this hate and love is there, my friends. His love and hate is not because of his personality that, you know, he's like this, this and that. No, my friends, understand the secret behind it. I don't want to leave this point unsaid so that we don't understand it and go on from here. Why do those people who love Ali love him to such an extreme? And why do those people who hate him to such extreme? My friends, it's because of their character and what they stand for. My friends, understand this. If a person doesn't like justice, if a person doesn't like justice, if a person doesn't like honesty, if a person who doesn't like piety, if a person who doesn't like God-fearing, if a person who doesn't like worship, if he is not anti, but even he is disinclined towards worship of Allah. You see that such a person would never be in love with Ali. He cannot. Because Ali stands for those things. He stands for justice. He stands for piety. He stands for truth. He stands for honesty. So if he's standing for those things and you don't stand for them and you love injustice or you like injustice in your life, I don't know. I'll give an example so you really, it becomes very clear for you, my friends. And you can judge for yourself. I don't want to judge for you. You judge for yourself. Because this is a time, the birth of Imam Ali, we need to judge our love for him and try to increase our love for him. Increase our ma'rifat for him. Let me give you an example. You send me salawats. You know, someone wants to get something done. Get a permit for his construction or business or whatever it is. And here, you know, I mean, because you lack the means to do that, right? Or if you had the means that, you know, you can apply for the permit and wait for it to go its process. Or you found a way that you can give some more money and you can get it done in a week. Right? There's a process that is made. There's a system that is made. Now, in that system, it says that you apply for a permit and you wait for 2-3 months, or give the money and get it done now. Or if you know someone, you go there, flatter him and say, hey, listen, you know, I put a permit and you get this done for me, even though other people have given their permits. Now, there are two ways of doing this. Either you use the means that you have, either money or reference, to get the work done, or you wait for the process and see that there's a line ahead of you, and you wait for the line to go so that your turn can come. Right? Okay, you know, I mean, this idea, you know, let me make it more simplified. Right? So that we all can understand. After the majlis, we all go outside for niyaz. And there's a line in the niyaz. Right? There's a line in the niyaz. Now, in the niyaz line, you know, you see that you can get in the back of the line because you stayed in the room too long. You ended up in the back of the line. Or you know someone who's serving the food. And you say that, listen, you know, make a plate for me and bring it here. You see, what would you choose to do? What would you choose to do? My friends, if you are going to love Ali or not depends on this. This is your character. You see, this is your character. This is where it all starts. Those people who loved Ali, they loved justice. And Ali stood for justice, that's why they love Ali. Those people who loved Ali, they loved honesty. Right? That's why they loved Ali. Those people who loved Ali because he stood for right. That's why they loved him. And they would never lead him, not because of his height, but because of how, where he stood. They loved him because of that. And those who hated him because of his justice, because of his honesty. My friends, that is where we need to change in order to increase our love for Imam Ali. Salawat ala Muhammad. You know, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he's an infamous person amongst us, very well known person amongst the other Muslim brothers, right? He is the father of Umar ibn Sa'd. You know, so now you know the relationship. So already his image is gone, right? But this saying of his, you know, there was a time when he was traveling with Imam Ali. He was traveling with Imam Ali with some group of people. And Imam Ali was ahead, and this group of people was behind him. And this group of people that were there were talking regarding Ali, Imam Ali. You know, they are like joking, ridiculing, you know. Now, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he overheard what they were saying. And, you know, he came to them, he says, you know, do you know who you're talking about? Do you know, I mean, who you're talking about? And I said, well, you know, I mean, we know him, but he said, let me tell you. This is Sa'd who's saying this. Let me tell you. If you had witnessed, even, or if you had, one of the merits and fada'il that I have seen in Ali, then you and your tribe will be priding over that merit till the day of judgment. One of the things that he has done, if he had done it, you know, you wouldn't stop boasting. You wouldn't stop boasting about yourself until the day your whole tribe will be boasting. If one of those things that Ali had, I saw with my own eyes, I heard with my own ears. I'm not saying from you from a different, you know, person, a third person. No, I heard it from my own ears, saw it with my own eyes. If he had one of those things, he said, what are those merits? He went on to list some merits that he had witnessed. And this is mentioned, I'm mentioning this hadith, even though we have more hadith in our books, but I'm mentioning this hadith because this is from Ahlul Sunnah. Right, in their books. Right, and this Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he mentions that. He says, listen, I remember when Surah Tawbah was revealed, and I was with the Prophet. Audhu was the prophet, and he had sent Abu Bakr to go and deliver the surah. As Abu Bakr was on his way, then Jibreel came to the prophet and said, "Prophet, call him back and send someone else." Who else should go there? One of our elderly person who's respected by both mu'mineen and kuffar. Everyone, you know, they have nothing against him. He has never killed anyone in any war. He's never hurt anyone in any war. In fact, he was never seen any doing anything in any war, any jihad. So why don't we send him? What's wrong with him? He says, "Though, let me give a description of the person that you should send." He said, "Who should I send?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, either you go, anta, aw min nafsek, or someone who is from yourself." Min nafsek, friends, this is just a few minutes. I'm going to dwell on this, and inshallah, we will end the speech. Few minutes I'll dwell on this. Min nafsek, send either you go, or someone from yourself goes. He says, "What does this from yourself means?" You see, either you go or send someone from your nafs, from yourself. Someone from yourself. You see, this, my friends, we need to understand it very well. What is this min nafsik? Because this is used in many ways. Like, for example, you see that the Messenger of Allah had said about Imam Hussain, "Husainun minni." Hussein is from me. When Allah says that you take your nafs with you, he took Ali with him. This is nafsik. The same meaning is there. And this is called maqame min niyat. What does it mean when he say from me? You see, whenever this is used, and the expression that this is from yourself, it doesn't mean someone who's related to you, someone who's your child. Because when we look at the hadith of Husaynun Minni, the same hadith we have with Ali, it says Aliyun Minni. Now, if Husayn was Minni because he's the grandson, how is Ali Minni to the Prophet? Same thing he used with Aliyun Minni. So Minni doesn't mean that he's related, that he came from your loins, that he was born out of you. That's not the meaning of minni, my friends. Minni, what it stands for, and min nafsik, what it stands for, is that someone, if you step away, then he is the same as you, that he will replace you without anything being undone. In other words, what he's saying is that, Rasul, either you go, or someone who can take your place go. Who can take your place? Someone that if he steps into your shoes, there wouldn't be any undoing, or there wouldn't be any shortfall from his replacement. And that's why you see the only person Prophet can find was Ali. He said, "Ali, you go and get him. You go there and replace him." He went there and he met up with the person who's taking it. He said, "Listen, give me that surah and you go back." He said, "Who said that?" He said, "The Prophet." He brought the letter from the Prophet, and so he had to go back. He came back complaining. He says, "You know, why was I stopped?" It's humiliating. Went there, all the places, you know. No one's there to, you know. "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because Allah, it's not me. I mean, hey, there's no emotional attachment I have here. It's Allah's order that came down." What was that order? And this is to make it clear that Allah had said that either you go or someone from yourself goes, meaning someone who can replace you. So in other words, my friends, this is making it clear to understand And the wisdom behind it was more than this, but just to make everyone understand that if there's anything, anyone who can take the shoes of Rasulullah and be in his place, it was Ali ibn Abi Talib. This, my friend, is Imam Ali. I mean, you look at Imam Ali, the reason he went there is because when the surah was going to be given, it was a banishment of kuffar. It was to banish the kuffar, right, from Makkah. This is bara'at, meaning that, listen, this is your warning, get out. This is going to become the haram now. Only Muslims can stay here. Non-Muslims cannot stay here. So Allah wanted to make sure that someone who was always a Muslim goes there. If someone who was an idol worshipper went there, they'll be saying, hey man, you used to be with me. In fact, you used to be my imam. You used to lead me in prayer. What's wrong with you? You're telling this now? But when Ali went, they had no say to Ali. They knew that Ali was someone who never worshipped idols. Never worshipped idols. My friends, that Ali is being born today. That Ali is being born today. Just imagine this. This night, you know, we see that this night, the mother of Imam Ali, Fatima bint Asad, you know, Fatima bint Asad, you know, I mean, really, she is, as they say, the daughter of a lion and the mother of a lion, right? Asad means a lion, right? Fatima bint Asad, she is the daughter of a lion and the mother of a lion. She comes to the Kaaba. Stands before the Kaaba and raises her hand in prayer. The Kaaba, the wall of the Kaaba splits open, making a door for her to enter. She enters there inside the Kaaba and the door closes. The door closes, and obviously, you know, Allah's plan, no one can stop Allah's plan from happening. They try opening the door, try all the keys that they have, couldn't open it. 3 days she stayed there. She was born on the 13th, for the 14th and 15th she stayed inside the Kaaba. No one else went inside there, no one came out of there. She stayed inside the Kaaba for 3 days. This is why, for those people who want to know this, right? If you go to the Shia world everywhere, you will see that on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Rajab, people make itikaf in the masjid. Right? They make itikaf in the masjid. They come to the masjid, they stay there for 3 days, fasting. You know itikaf, the rules of itikaf are there. That those who want to know that, itikaf is that when you make a niyat and nazar that I'm going to fast for 3 days and stay in the masjid. 3 days they stay in the masjid. And everyone, you see, you know, it's a habit that every youth, everyone goes in the masjid and stays there for 3 days in order to do itikaf. Why? Because these are the days that Mawla Ali was in the Kaaba. He was in the Kaaba for 3 days, and when he came out, when she came out on the 15th, then you see that she came out and the first person that Imam Ali saw was the Prophet. The Prophet was smiling. And she gave Ali over to the Prophet. She had named him Haydar. She had named him Haydar. He wasn't named Ali. She named him Haydar. But the Prophet did not say anything. He waited for Allah's command to come. And the name of Ali was given to our Imam. Name of Ali was given. My friends, understand this. Every name that Ahlul Bayt are given, you see, when they are given a name, they are given a name because of a reality, of a waqi'iyat that exists. We give names because it sounds good, and if you are good, names of Ahlul Bayt. We gave them that, you know, we want the name of Ahlul Bayt in our family, so we gave them Ahlul Bayt's name. But when Allah gives a name, He gives a name according to the reality of that person. So if The prophet is named Muhammad. It is because of the fact that he is someone who should be praised also. Because it is from the name of Mahmud that he gets Muhammad. Allah is praised, Allah wanted him to be praised also. That's why the name Muhammad is here. Fatima, the name is given because she is the obstacle from hellfire. She is the obstacle from hellfire. So now when Ali is given its name, his name. So now you understand this. Prophet is holding Ali in his hands. And Ali is small. He is looking down on Ali. People thought he was looking down on Ali. But what the Prophet saw and what Allah had shown the Prophet, that's how Ali got his name. People saw that he was small, but in the Prophet's eyes, Ali was very high. That's why his name was Ali. So now, from that time onwards, it is such a quality of Ali that no matter he might be shorter than some other people, but they will always be looking up to Ali. That's the way Ali is, the quality of Ali. Just like this Quran is Ali, meaning that it is high and you look up to the Quran, just like that our Imam is Ali. No matter where he is, in which gathering he is, everyone always looks up to him. This was a special quality of Ali. That's why in every battlefield that Ali went, everyone ended up looking up to him. No matter how tall they were. Ask, and if you want to know it, ask Amr ibn Abdul, he'll tell you. Right? How high Ali was looking, right, when he got through with him. This is Imam Ali. And that's why we see that Imam Ali's height is not in his physical height, but his height is in his character and his personality and in his being, that he has achieved such greatness that any place you stand, you will see that Ali will always be Ali. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and a blessing to be on the right path, to give us the wisdom to understand his guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir ad-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.